best negotiation trick ever. All right, so we're talking wholesaling real estate today. Negotiation skills is one of the biggest things, Hey, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, we're talking about the best negotiation trick ever. All right, so we're talking wholesaling real estate today. Negotiation skills is one of the biggest things, probably number one skill you should have right next to marketing, because you need a pipeline. You need people coming in. You need attention. You need people coming in through your pipeline, your funnels. Because if there are no people coming to your business, there's nobody to negotiate with. There's nobody to conduct business with. Your money is in the hands of people. So you need people. You don't need properties. You need people that own property. That's the way it works. You need people that own properties. Okay. So with that being said, we get that out of the way. One of the best skills you can have is negotiation skills. So I'm going to give you the best negotiation trick ever today. The way I'm going to do that is there's a question that came in that has to do with that, and I figure we should dive into that first. Then I have a quote I want to share with you with regards to that, and then I can answer the question, and then you have another tool in your hand that you can go out there and you can start killing it and start closing deals. Okay. Question: I need help. I have attempted to walk away from this deal several times, but the seller keeps asking for help. I have a seller who is needing to sell his property. He wants to sell for $190,000. The house is in great condition. I hate to say it, but it needs less than $5,000 in repair. The estimated after repair value, ARV, is $230,000. After fees, my closing and closing costs, this is not a deal for the end buyer. He also gave me an owner finance option with the terms of $25,000 to $30,000 down, 7% to 9% interest rate, and $1,700 to $1,750 monthly. How can I make this a deal? I've got bad news for you. I've got good news and bad news for you, and I wonder which one do you want first, good or bad news? Okay, I think I should share the bad news first, right? Right? All right. Bad news is this: you cannot make something that's not a deal a deal. It's either it's a deal or it's not a deal. Okay. Now, with that being said, there are sometimes you can get very creative and something that seemingly seemed like it wasn't a deal end up becoming a deal. Actually, it was already a deal. You just had to find out how it's a deal, and then you realize it's a deal. But something that's not a deal is simply not a deal. I'll tell you what's not a deal. Anytime you're dealing with a non-motivated seller, you won't have a deal. Very simple, because a person who is not a motivated seller in terms of wholesaling real estate, okay, you need certain numbers to be able to wholesale real estate. In the total overall equation, you need certain types of numbers. You need to be able to create a win-win for both seller and buyer. And when I say both seller, it means and buyer, not all buyer, okay? It can't just be a deal just for the seller. So the seller wants money, obviously. They want to make money. You, as a buyer, must create, you're going to be a buyer, but also you are going to have an end buyer as a real estate wholesaling professional, right? You're going to have an end buyer, right? Exactly. So if you're going to have an end buyer, it's in your best interest. Let me see something here. Then it's in your best interest to make sure you create a good deal for the end buyer. And I'm glad this person already pointed that out here, okay? So with that being said, a seller will always have a good deal, you know, if you are dealing with motivated seller. A motivated seller already know, without you having to manipulate them, they already know they need to get rid of a property. If they don't know already, by you helping them sort through whatever they're going through, some kind of life crisis, the reason why they need to get rid of the property, or maybe they need to move, they don't have time to deal with repairs and stuff like that, they already know that they want to get rid of a property, and it's not about money for them. It's just about convenience and speed for them. They already know that. That's a motivated seller. Write this down. It's about speed and convenience for a motivated seller, okay? If it's not about that, it's about them making as much money, then they start coming up with all kind of gimmicks so they can make money, and then basically you lose control. Remember, you should come to the table as a problem solver, okay? They should have approached you as a problem solver, not the other way around. Because if you end up chasing them and you're approaching them and you're chasing them and you're trying to do the deal, it's your first deal, so you sound desperate and all this stuff, you're going to chase them away, or they're going to see you as a sucker and they try to sucker you. This particular deal looks like somebody trying to sucker you into a deal, okay? And you said quite a few things in the question, and I want to go through the question again and point out those things. That way you can avoid this in the future or gain more control while you're negotiating or you're prospecting in the future, okay? So, I need help, all right? I've attempted to walk away from this deal several times, but the seller keeps asking for help. If you've attempted to walk away multiple times, that means you keep coming back. That means you walked away and you didn't mean it, right? And you keep coming back to the same deal, the numbers didn't change. That means you walked away from a deal, but you didn't really mean it. You keep trying to make it a deal, right? Guess what that says? It means you're weak. You're the weakest link in that transactional equation, right? And that means you're gonna lose. You're not in control. The seller is in control. The seller, from the sound of things, sound like somebody who is savvy, and another investor who sees you as a sucker. They're trying to sucker you into a deal, as opposed to you dealing with a seller, somebody who lives in a home, or they are a landlord who is just tired. They don't care about the numbers. They're just trying to get rid of it. As opposed to somebody who is telling you all these different gimmicks and creative financing stuff. That's a sign right there. Somebody offering you creative financing, they're offering you creative financing. You're the one that's supposed to be offering creative financing, not the other way around. If the person is offering you creative finance, they're in control and you can't win that game. You can't win it nonetheless doing a win-win, okay? If you're going to create a win-win, you need to be able to win as well too. If they're the only one that's going to win, they're trying to sucker you, then you can't win. That's what this sounds like, okay? So if you've tried to walk away from the deal several times, the same deal, the numbers hasn't changed, the same deal several times, that means you're in a very, very bad negotiating position. This is the trick right here. This is the best negotiating trick ever. You have to be able to walk away in a minute, okay? That means you walked away unless they call you back and you meant it. If they call you back, they're calling you back because they're willing to change their numbers. They're willing. They're getting more desperate. They're getting more motivated. And of course, you should assess the situation and see if they've changed positions. But if they haven't changed positions on their numbers and they're calling you back, and then you're saying you're coming back to the same deal over and over, that's a very, very bad negotiating position for you. So the best trick for negotiation is to put yourself in a position where you're willing to walk away a minute. Does that make sense? All right, great. So let's keep going here. That's the first lesson there. I have a seller who is needing to sell his property. If he truly needs to sell his property, he would have changed position, but he wants to sell for 190K. The house is in great condition. I hate to say it, but it needs less than $5,000 in repair. If the property needs less than $5,000 in repair, and that's really, really a true statement, and if you're in a fairly nice, okay neighborhood, like in mid New Jersey, central New Jersey, I don't know your neighborhood, but like around $200,000 to $400,000 deals, right? And the house truly needs less than $5,000 in repair, they're probably not going to be motivated to sell to you at a steep discount, which is what you need to be able to create a real estate wholesaling deal, right? You need someone to sell at a deep discount. So if the property doesn't need work, that's just one additional chance, one additional reason why they don't want to sell to you at a steep discount, okay? If they're facing foreclosure, it doesn't matter if it's in repairs or not. That's a distress that you can solve. That's a problem that you can solve, and you should be approaching it from that standpoint, right? So the house is in great condition. I hate to say it. The estimated after repair value is $230,000. He wants $190,000. That's a $40,000 spread on a $200,000 deal. That's basically about one fifth of the situation, right? Something like that. Yeah, about one fifth of the situation. About that, right? It's just not enough. Okay, about 20%. It's not enough. Trust me, it's not enough. And I'm going to assume that the property needs more than $5,000 of repair. And if it doesn't, then it should be listed on the market as a retail price. Then you can offer them a retail deal, lease the property, and make some commissions if you're licensed, okay? That's what I would do, okay? As opposed to trying to go back and forth with them to try to pick up the property and locking it on a contract, I say, hey, let's do a listing contract so we can get you the most money we can get you. Why sell it for 190 when you can get 230? If you can get 230, let's get you 230. I'll make commissions from it, okay? I have my guy help you list the property, we can sell it. Focus on how you can solve their problem from their standpoint, okay? But once you get to a place where somebody is offering you creative financing, like the terms of $25,000 to $30,000 down, they're asking you for that, you lost control of that as a real estate wholesaling deal. You should have said, you know what, let me offer you something else. Let me help you lease the property. Let's help you find a buyer. Let's help you get the most money you can get for this property, because clearly money is their motivation. If money is the motivation of your seller, they're not motivated. That's what that means, okay? You need to be dealing with them from a retail standpoint, okay? So how can you make this a deal? It's a retail deal, okay? If they're willing to get 180, then they should have time, okay? If they don't have time, then they should come less on the money. They should be selling that property for 125, 130. That's it. No excuse, no going back and forth about it. They should be willing to collect $125,000 to $130,000. So that's the only way to make it a deal. And again, if you're dealing with a non-motivated seller, they will say like, no, I'm not interested. Remember, it wasn't a deal in the first place, if that ever happens to you, okay? So the best positioning for negotiating in wholesaling real estate is to be willing to walk away in a minute. And in order to be able to do that, you need options. You need to have a pipeline that's full. You need to have a pipeline. You need to learn how to market. You need to have the knowledge of prospecting. You need to know your market so you can negotiate the right way, so you can have the right conversation. You can maintain control while you're having conversations with this prospect. And if you can't have control, you can't have two heads in the household. You have two heads, that's a butt. That's not good, okay? So wholesaling real estate requires two skills, starting with marketing. That's basically how to fill up your pipeline with leads. And then two, prospecting. Does that make sense? That means you retain the negotiating power in the equation, all right? So that's something I wanted to share with you. The last statement I want to share with you is, as you can see, none of it has to do with legalities in the business, okay? And that's what they're going to teach you in licensing, licensing class, real estate agency class. But here we teach you how to market, how to fill up your pipeline so you can have more people to talk to and you have options. So if you ever need to walk away or do a takeaway strategy, you walk away, you mean it. If they call you back, that means they're open to changing their position. That's the best negotiating position, and that's the best negotiating trick I can share with you. You'll win all day long by using this in your business. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. If you're brand new here, go to smartrealestatewholesaling.com, okay, and go pick this up for free, this book right here for free. And if you go there right now, I'll give you this as well as a bonus. It's called Real Estate Money Secrets. This is Smart Real Estate Wholesaling. You can find it at smartrealestatewholesaling.com, and this is Real Estate Money Secret, all right? And I will see you on the next one. Don't forget to give it a thumbs up. Don't forget to share the video with people you know will love it. And if you want a shout out, give me a comment. What are you thinking right now? Share your comment in the box below. I'll see you on the next one, and peace.